I'm going to have a conversation with Alana Amsterdam. She wrote the Gluten-Free Almond Flour Cookbook, and it's amazing. There's so many benefits to cooking with almond flour instead of wheat. The biggest is that it doesn't raise your glycemic index. So it's not only perfect with people with celiac disease, but also people with diabetes, or if you're following a low-carb diet. I found her fascinating. I wanted to learn more about almond flour, and then lo and behold, I had a book cross my desk, The Gluten-Free Almond Flour Cookbook. And the author is Alana Amsterdam, and she's in Boulder, Colorado, and she's also on the phone with me. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
I'm terrific. How are you?
Great.
Well, you know, when this book crossed my desk, number one, you guys, the picture will just draw you in because there's this beautiful picture of a chocolate cake and it's with a marshmallow frosting. We'll go into what makes this incredible chocolate cake, but also you see a quiche and you see almonds. And when I was flipping through it, I'm so excited with it because I've heard a lot about almond flour. And what led you to the almond flour?
Well, I was diagnosed with celiac disease over a decade ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's an autoimmune disorder that's triggered by eating gluten. And it runs in families, and it does run in my family. My mother and sister and one of my children all have it. And I was really, in my changing my diet to eating gluten-free, I was really not very happy with the flour substitutes that were in the gluten-free products I was baking.
Mm-hmm.
They were, number one, they just didn't taste good. There's a very dry, gritty taste in a lot of the rice flour and those types of wheat flour replacements. Number two, when you're baking gluten-free, there can often be as many as 4, 5, or 6 flour replacements just to replace the wheat flour.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third thing is that those flours are much more starchy and high in carbohydrates than wheat itself. And so they're basically full of empty calories. So nutritionally speaking, I was just really drawn to almond flour because it has such a great nutrition profile, high in protein, low in carbohydrates, and full of amazing antioxidants and minerals.
And that's, you know, what when I was reading through your book that really fascinated me. So it's not only, you know, really good for if you have celiac disease, but also for diabetes.
Yep.
Excellent for diabetes because what I didn't realize, and I was so fascinated with the glycemic index.
Mm-hmm.
How some of these products fall into it. And could you explain, first of all, more to us about what the glycemic index is?
So basically, the glycemic index is a measurement of your blood sugar levels after you eat a certain food. And the glycemic index of wheat flour, as I had mentioned, is much mm-hmm. higher than that of almond flour.
That's what I'm looking at that right now, and it's amazing. Wheat flour is a 71 glycemic.
Right. White wheat flour, mm-hmm. not whole wheat flour, but mm-hmm. they're pretty close. Is glycemic index is 71, and for almond flour, it's less than 1, which makes it a great ingredient. And then, as I had mentioned about starchy flours, rice flour is 98. So you're basically spiking your blood sugar when you're eating rice flour, and you're still spiking it when you're eating wheat flour. And with almond flour, you're not spiking your blood sugar because it's got good fats and proteins in it. The fats in almond flour actually lower the bad cholesterol and raise the good cholesterol.
And almond flour, it tastes so good because it's just ground almonds.
They're blanched first. Mm-hmm. You take the skin off, and then the almonds are ground and put through a really fine sieve. So the have you ever worked with almond flour?
I have, but you know what? I created my own. I just put it in.
Right.
You know what? When you said that, when I did it, I didn't blanch. I used the whole with skins, and I put it in the food processor. I had great results with it.
Uh-huh.
But I use it in combination. But I've seen now in the health food stores that where you can buy the almond flour.
Yeah. And the one that I've made my own, I stopped doing that probably 10 years ago or so because I just go through, with all the recipe testing, I go through pounds and pounds a month. It's just too labor intensive to make my own. But what you get when you're dealing with the fine diced blanched almond flour, which is what I recommend in the book, is it's like using almost a cake flour versus a whole wheat flour. Like, it just creates a more fluffy, more fluffy product with better mouthfeel, and it tastes more regular.
I just find this fascinating. And Lana, I didn't realize that celiac disease and diabetes are kind of related.
Yeah, they share a common HLA gene, and there's a much higher incidence of people who have diabetes getting celiac, and a much higher chance of people with celiac getting diabetes.
That I have a lot of listeners I know that are always asking for some diabetic-friendly recipes. So I thought I wanted to talk about this chocolate cake recipe. And the reason is it's just so simple, the ingredients. We have the blanched almond flour that we just talked about. Which is just very fine and like cake flour. And then just the unsweetened cocoa powder.
Yep, and that's, again, full of antioxidants, and there's been some studies done by the medical community that show that cocoa powder lowers blood pressure.
Interesting. Now, you'd want to make sure that you...
That's another superfood.
So you'd want to make sure that you get the Dutch processed.
It doesn't matter if it's Dutch processed or not. I've used both ways, but
really?
The important thing is unsweetened.
Unsweetened, yes.
Yeah.
And I like the, personally, I like the Dutch because I like the deeper flavor in it. And then sea salt, which I recommend all the time. Baking soda, that's the only leveling in here outside
that's
the...
That's it, yeah.
And then the agave nectar for sweetness.
Yeah. That's a great ingredient for us to touch on for a minute because we were just talking about the relationship between diabetes and celiac. And the way I look at it, we don't all of a sudden one day just get a disease. We develop it slowly. And for me, having celiac, I'm always being very careful. I have a higher chance of getting diabetes. I don't want to get it. So I use agave nectar in my recipes instead of white sugar. Because agave nectar, I won't call it a healthy food or a superfood, but it doesn't spike blood sugar the way white sugar does. And I also in the book have a little, if you look at that page with the chocolate cake, I have a little sweetness indicator.
Yes.
And this recipe for the chocolate cake, the sweetness is high, and it uses 1 cup of agave. But you still got, you know, to modulate the glycemic index of the recipe, you still got the almond flour, which, as I mentioned, has great protein and fat, and you've got eggs. So you're kind of balancing out all that sweetness with some really good high-protein ingredients with healthy fats also that will slow down the absorption of the sugar in the agave nectar so that it doesn't spike your blood sugar.
So if you wanted to do it a little less sweet, could you use like 3/4 of a cup of the agave? Would that still test out okay?
You know, when you're dealing with liquids, that's not all. You know, then you'd have an experiment. That's an interesting question. And I do have a lot of other, there's not a lot of recipes in the book where the sweetness is high.
I noticed that. And I really liked that you had that level. But this recipe just caught me because then the frosting on it, which I wanted to touch on, because like I said, it's much like a 7-minute frosting.
Yes.
But it's really simple because you're using the agave again.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. You heat the agave up in a pan, and while I'm heating the agave up and getting it to kind of an amber color, I'm beating the egg whites next to the stove and then drizzle the hot agave right into the egg whites. And you've got this lovely marshmallow fluff, which my children think is amazing. I make, there's some chocolate wafer cookies in the book, and I often make those wafer cookies and put the marshmallow frosting in between and make whoopie pies.
Oh, how cute.
And my kids have a lot of fun selling those in bake sales.
But, you know, and I think that's what's nice when we look, like you said, some of the books that I've had or looked through that are gluten-free have so many ingredients that it makes it tough.
It's a
lot of work, but these are, you know, like I said, that's why I wanted to go through that chocolate cake because how simple, but yet, and it just looks amazing. Oh, okay, well, I highly recommend the book and to go and to log on to Ilana's website and to register so you can get updated recipes. And thank you so much for coming on the show this morning.
Thank you so much, Judy. It's a pleasure to be with you.
It is. This has been a delight. The book, The Gluten-Free Almond Flour Cookbook, it was just released. You can find it on my website. You can find it at your local bookstores and, of course, always on Amazon as well. So I thank you for being a part of the show, and we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk.